Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our recollection series today. And today we're talking about an all-time favorite Raven, Shannon Sharpe. Just 2 years with the Ravens, but he's in the Ravens Ring of Honor. Sean Asher selected him to talk about. Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, Ken. How you doing today, man?
Really appreciate you coming on, as always, Sean. But why Shannon Sharpe?
So I was born in 91. My grandfather was a longtime Colts fan. And then when they dispersed, he was not going to the DC team. So he was, just became a Navy football fan for a long time. Then when Baltimore came to town, he started watching, got me into it. And I guess I remember just the general excitement around getting Shannon Sharpe, because I was like 5 years old, so don't remember a ton, but remember that. And then pretty confident that 2000 season, it was the first Ravens jersey I got was Shannon Sharpe. I think it was 2000. It may have been 2001 after Hard Knocks, but I think it was the 2000 season. So Shannon Sharpe always has a special spot in my heart, regardless of whatever he says on his podcast nowadays.
He is kind of a wild card. He can say a lot of things. I don't think he's ever really malicious with the Ravens intentionally. I think he's just speaking his mind, and that's pretty much what he's done his entire life in a good way. Played ages 32 and 33 for the Ravens. You don't expect to get much out of a player at that point, but he honestly gave the Ravens a much needed receiving threat at a time when they had Qadree Ishmael, but not much else.
Yeah. I mean, and I can't remember too much about why they brought him in, because it's not like Twitter was a thing. It's not like you can go back and, even like Baltimore Sun, I think, and like 2014 started taking all their old historical articles and putting them on. So like you can find some of the articles about signing some players from back then and you know, big moves like when Banks got benched and Dilfer got the nod. You can find an article about that, but even then, it's still pretty hard. But yeah, just going back and looking at the depth chart, Quadri Ismail was kind of really it. And then, you know, obviously we had a great running game, but outside of Quadri, there were, it really wasn't that much there.
Yeah, and that's certainly true. They tried to take a swing with Patrick Johnson in the second round. That really didn't work out for the Ravens. And they had long gone were Jackson and Alexander, who were the great Ravens receivers of their first season. Jermaine Lewis was still around and still contributing a little bit on the offensive side, but mostly at this point had been converted to a return man. So it was sharp. And I remember on that 2000 Super Bowl video, one of the things that Trent Dilfer said was, we had a little talk and we said, if the ball has to go to Shannon Sharp every time, it's going to go to Shannon Sharp every time. Rather than me trying to intentionally force the football to other different players.
Yeah. I mean, Patrick Johnson pops up a few times in Shannon Sharp highlights because he blocks really well for Shannon Sharp downfield. But yeah, I mean, it's not really a great pass catching threat to, you know, distribute targets around.
32 games with the Ravens, six more in the regular season, six more in the postseason. So he was healthy for every game he was here in Baltimore. That's always nice. The Ravens, of course, went 5-1 in those two seasons with that only that loss at Pittsburgh to think about for the you glasses half empty people. But that Super Bowl run was really something special. I'm sure we'll talk about that. His career at Denver before he got there and after, by the way, because he went back to Denver to finish out his days. He might have played for one other team too, but he did play most of his years with Denver. 8,439 yards and 55 TVs with Denver. And seven Pro Bowls and four All-Pro ones. He was kind of the tight end of the 1990s. And it's interesting that the Ravens also picked up Ben Coates for that 2000 season, who a very honorable dude in a way. First of all, came in, didn't play a whole lot of snaps. And what were your recollections about Ben Coates? I don't want to steal the
there's microphone. A play that we're gonna get to. We're gonna talk about that play. But yeah, I mean that's really it, you know. And I'm looking at the name and I'm looking at the statistics and I got nothing, man. I got nothing on Ben Coates.
All right. Well, a couple things. I mean, he had three catches in the Super Bowl and Shannon only had one. And one of them was a nice long, I think about a 30-yard play in that Super Bowl, but he only had 18 targets with nine receptions in that 2000 season during the regular season. So he had, in a lot of ways, he did more in the postseason, did the whole regular season, didn't play a whole lot of snaps. And he retired before the 2001 season with his ring. So Super Bowl 35 was his last game in the NFL and 499 career catches when 500 actually used to mean something at that rate. Yeah. So he was, you know, like Mr. 2999, you know, running the ice cream truck. He's in a good place.
Especially 500 for a tight end back then.
Like, yep.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
All right. Well, back to Sharp a little bit. What do you remember about him in terms of his general way he carried himself on the field?
So, I mean, there was the trash talk, right? So, like, there was jarring, and it's like it was different. He was such a unicorn for the position at the time because, like, the tight ends, we were shifting the NFL as a whole is kind of shifting from, you know, tight ends just being 75% of an offensive line, but meant to be more athletic and just be able to get onto the second level and get blockers so they can't be as big as offensive line. And, you know, you had pass catching tight ends, Kellen Winslow, obviously Ozzie Newsome, like you had a bunch of pass catching tight ends, but the way Shannon Sharp moved was not like a tight end. It was the movement of a wide receiver, but in the body of a tight end. And it was just pure athletic ability for a man of that size. It was like, to me, you know, of course it was not something I had seen, but apparently a lot of the country hadn't seen something like that either. So, I really remember a lot of just like making linebackers look absolutely silly, you know, and how do you even defend that?
Yeah, it's a great point because he was too big for linebackers to cover. Too athletic for linebackers to cover and too big for a safety and certainly for a corner to cover. So very, very hard matchup to work with and one the Ravens were willing to exploit regularly. I remember him as being, I think, much more of a vertical threat than we think of him today. And Isaiah Likely is a better athlete than Shannon Sharp was. But Isaiah Likely is similar in terms of his ability to get deep behind a defense and still work for a contested catch and whatnot. Shannon, I think, of being as more of a hands catcher, generally speaking, yep. away from the body, did not have a lot of problems with you know, trapping the ball on the inside and having bad things occur from that or you know, ball bouncing off his chest a lot. And also being a guy who could box out like a great tight end is supposed to be able to do, really knew how to position his body to keep that the defender from getting near that football.
I like the Isaiah Likely somewhat comparison, but also like Isaiah Likely playing in the 2000s, I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Lasted in a season, you know, like just the hits, you know, back then. But Shannon Sharp was so much bigger and just like, you know, he could hit, you could get hit. He could take the hits, I guess. Yeah. And I mean, maybe Likely could, I don't know. I cannot imagine some of those linebackers from back then and, you know, and some of the safeties back then either. I mean, I couldn't imagine it, but maybe.
So, you know, you mentioned you were born in 91, right? You said, yep. Okay, so you were nine in 2000, or you turned nine sometime during yep. that year. So how much of the Ray Lewis trial information do you still recall? Because I do recall Shannon Sharp having a part in that.
So a decent amount. You know, my grandmother was a French teacher at Annapolis High School, and you know, we didn't really grow up on the different side of town that was like, you know, he did it, he's a murderer, you know, how dare he? You know, we didn't really have that mindset in our family. And it was just more of like, we didn't really know what to think. Like, you know, the news said that he was there, and then like people were saying that he did it, but nobody that had any credible sources or anything said that he did it. So it was just a lot of like, I guess at elementary age, I'm getting a prep for the 2016 election or whenever it was about how news consorts things and how the world just like operates that way. And like, you have to think for yourself, but you know, I don't really remember it being like, in my family or our lives, like super polarizing or anything. Cause it was just like, we don't really know what happened.
Well, you know, I'm glad. I think a lot of Ravens fans are at least happy and probably got a little bit of an education about our legal system during that time that I think was good about, you know, first of all, innocent until proven guilty. Let's start with that. And I think in the end, Ray is all the way admitting he was there. That's not the question, of course. And it's not the question that he got rid of his suit and whatnot. I think that some of the obstruction of justice lands from that. He, in the end, testified in terms of what he could see, but he apparently had not seen much. And it does seem like, you know, it's certainly a tragedy in terms of what happened. But Ray certainly paid the price in terms of a great deal of notoriety that team. It really was about 3 years before he was back on any sort of advertising after that. Yep. Really, the 2003 draft is when I started to see him coming up again. And you know, but I want to talk about Sharp's involvement in the thing, because in a lot of ways, I think Shannon went to Ray, first of all, and one of the people who was not trying to distance himself, not trying to, you know, seem like he was not on Ray Lewis's side or not take a neutral stance or saying, you know, saying things that Twitter didn't exist then, but saying this will play out and I hope justice is served. And, you know, we await the decision of the jury or anything like that. You know, he went and he worked out with Ray while, yep. you know, this was going on. And I think it's very evident by the time we get to Hard Knocks the next year what a great relationship these two guys had in the locker room. And, you know, you see them at the talent show for the rookies, and they're both getting made fun of. And these guys are like ribbing each other and nudging each other in the back row, like they've known each other for 20 years.
Yeah. In prep for this, I went back and rewatched Hard Knocks, and it was funny to see, like, you know, just the individual personalities between Ray and Shannon. Then Shannon's like, he's at that point in his career where he knows everything, and he's just waiting for the, you know, the tight ends coach, whoever it was at the time, to say, okay, you can get out of here. Let me teach Todd Heap this thing, you know. But his goal is like, I've won my rings, I'm going into the Hall of Fame, whatever. But his mindset seemed to be of like, I'm having fun while I can still do this. And Ray's mindset, and like he talks about, I just enjoy being on the field with these guys. I don't care what Shannon says and how he tries to get under my skin and, you know, make jokes at my expense. I just enjoy playing the game. And it was like, you know, just because it's year four for him or year five for him at that point. So yeah, it was interesting to see from that type of perspective how those two iconic players and their mentalities at that moment in their careers are so very different. And, you know, the greatness isn't that much different.
The juxtaposition with Tony Siracusa is also something I think, you know, as much as they each had their moments in this back and forth kind of jokey, you know, practical joke stuff they were doing with each other. And some of the things Shannon said though during that time about demanding restitution and this sort of thing, I thought that was just something that I think probably cemented his ability to have a long broadcasting career, which, by the way, I think would have happened anyway. But he certainly, you know, got a lot more nibbles on the line probably because
initially, of what happened on that show. And as you say that, I'm like, I'm wondering if Marlon Humphrey's going to be, you know, we're going to see
him,
right? Because all the podcasting he's doing now and like prepping himself for whenever that day comes, hopefully it's another decade down the future and we have a, you know, lots of all pros from him in the meantime. But, you know, yeah, it's a very valid point, you know, for sure.
Siracusa himself got a fair amount of time. He's still the only sideline reporter that I've ever seen who was free to cut in at any time. It's like, he's whatever. In the booth. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to run you weren't worried about him to the same degree that you were with Namath, when he's like on the sideline, he's like hitting on Tracy Culver because he's, you know, blackout, or well, Susie Culver because he's blackout drunk, like on the sideline. So, yeah. You never, like, Goose knew where that line was, you know, he never went above that line.
All right. How about some of Shannon's great highlights as a Raven? What are the ones you remember?
Ooh, okay. Let me get into that list. Sorry. So I think Jacksonville week two, as I went back and looked at it from 2000 week two with Jacksonville, like Jacksonville had a squad, man. Mark Brunell, like that was a pretty good solid quarterback. Fred Taylor was a 1,400 yard rusher and big name running back at the time. Pretty elusive guy. McCardell and Jimmy Smith both were 1,000 yard receivers. And I feel like at the time, like Jacksonville kind of had our number for years before that. And it wasn't like, you know, everybody today, I'm sure, thinks of Jacksonville and like outside the one blip of Blake Bortles, the one season, it's like kind of been a laughing stock for a long time. But back then they weren't. And at the end of the game there, Shannon Sharp just got open for the touchdown, and it was Tony Banks. Like, it was such an awful first half, and the way they came back in the second half, defense started putting the clamps down, and at the end of the game, sure enough, it's Shannon Sharp that, you know, week two of the regular season, like, Shannon Sharp pops up and is the Hall of Fame playmaker that he has proven to be.
Yeah, right. It's an odd pass, but definitely one of the ones that it leads to more Shannon Sharp as a vertical threat. I mean, right down the seam, for a 29-yard touchdown, catches it at about the one, falls into the end zone over a defender that's much smaller than him, which is perfect in a lot of ways. Touchdown reminds me a lot of the Todd Heap game-winning touchdown against the Chargers in 2006. So there's a similar amount of time left. I think it might have been 30 seconds or 39 seconds left in that Chargers game, and he bulls over Sean Merriman into the end zone. It's just a kind of a similar memory to me. The other thing I remember hearing about it afterwards in terms of the way of Sharp being interviewed is that he went to Banks in the huddle and said, look, I don't care what the play is. I want the football. And, you know, so he's not going to be denied at this point. And Banks had a pretty good drive, a couple of second down and 10 conversions to Billy Davis, of all people. He only caught three balls the whole year, but two of them were second and 10 conversions on that drive against Jacksonville. So it was a good drive, you know, to get into range there, a good job of not scoring too quickly also, because yep. I think that could have been tough, but they got it done and Shannon wouldn't be denied there.
Yeah, definitely a great, great highlight about the zone coverage and, you know, being able to get in that second level between linebackers and safeties and, mm-hmm. and really like it was just so unheard of in the NFL at that time for a tight end to be able to move and catch like that. Like it just, yeah, epitomized like Shannon Sharp as a player for sure.
I got one more before the 2000 postseason, but if you have anything else, go ahead with another highlight from anything else in the 2000 season.
I don't think I have anything else from the 2000 regular season. There was a game with Cincinnati that he popped off. Yeah. Is that yeah. the one you're, yeah.
It is actually because the Ravens had a 20 quarter scoring drought that was yep. broken earlier in that game by Stokely's touchdown.
Yep.
And then Shannon had two other touchdowns he added on top and what ended up being a 27-7 laugher and got that Ravens team back on track. Let's see. They won the previous week. Now, I think that was their first win of the 11 in a row to finish the regular season and then the postseason as well.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, he went off in that game. And there was like all of it was impressive for that game. But yeah, there wasn't anything that like super stood out in my mind from that game. But yeah, he had a field day that game. It just seemed like he was a man amongst boys the entire game. Yep.
And I'm sure we have a lot of the same highlights from the 2000 postseason, but talk us through them.
So I'll start with the wild card round one, because that one was just immaculate. Like that was a wild play. And I don't remember, like I went back and watched a bunch of games from that 2000 season to prep for this. And like, I just don't really remember.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're seeing a lot of two tight ends out wide in the same play, but for whatever reason, that's the play call. There's two tight ends, Ben Coates, who we talked about earlier, and Shannon Sharp out wide on the right side. It's a short flat, like maybe 3 or 4 yards out, and Ben Coates has it in his hands, but you know, I couldn't tell if he's getting popped because it's like it's standard definition and it's probably a VCR recording, but I couldn't tell if he's getting hit or if he just like kind of juggled it and like it got up in the air. Shannon Sharp just kind of pops out of nowhere, grabs it, runs around that interaction. Somebody, I think it was Romanowski takes a bad angle and then gets absolutely lit by a gash. And then Shannon Sharp down the sideline, like 60 yards for the touchdown.
Yeah, it was a special play. I thought it was Jamal Lewis who touched the ball initially on that flat, but I might be wrong about that. It might have been Coates. I got to go back and watch that again because it's been so long. But my recollection also is that Romanowski was the second toucher. Sharp catches it going in the wrong direction, then takes a U-turn back upfield for that touchdown. It's just one of the really weird plays. It's hard for me to believe it's been 24 years almost, 23, I guess, and change. But there's a lot of Ravens fans, I think, you know, some of the younger generation who probably has not seen that play. And, it's something that I hope we're still seeing. But the more we get into the high def era, you mentioned this earlier, the more people choose highlights from the high def era that they're not willing to go back to before 2006 when high def was much rarer. And they may not even have the recordings stashed in the same way. I know that the NFL used to keep them back to about 2009. I don't know what they have deep in their digital vaults, but that's what they were offering up for a long time.
I saw somewhere that now you can go back to about like 2004 or 5 for most regular season, postseason stuff. But yeah, I don't know how you find it. And I guess I don't really understand just watching highlights. I mean, I guess I do, cause it's like the way society's going, you know, mm-hmm. like the more retweets and likes or whatever you get, then that's more important, more dopamine, serotonin, whatever. But Yeah, I don't know. For me, I've always been a big fan of the players that like just do the little things, and it doesn't really like their greatness doesn't really matter how much I like them based off of just how well they do all the little things. So, you know, current favorite Raven is Patrick McCary, and it's like, you know, it's weird, but it's like the dude just grinds, and it's, you know, there's his technique is always seems pretty solid. Like he gets beat for sure, but it seems like he's always trying to do the right thing. So yeah, I don't know. To me, I'm not a highlight guy.
That's a good profile. That's a good profile. I want the full games too, for a lot of reasons, obviously, but that is something that I'm interested to know that those HD games are out there going further back. I know even when the entire rest of the league had converted to HD in 2006, Cleveland had not. And so yep. they didn't have cameras that went back to the 06 and I believe the 07 games either. But in 08, they finally got HD, I believe, and they were the last of the 32 original teams holding out still. This HD fan's going to go – fat is just going to go away. We're not going to splurge on cameras for this. But anyway, I frequently go to my collection and enjoy rewatching some of these games. I was going to do a series on just my own thoughts rewatching games, something I could do solo in about 15 or 20 minutes and talk about it. The only one I ended up doing so far this offseason was the 1996 opener, it'd be a fun thing to go through.
The last game with Dallas at their last stadium, I'd want to hear that one from you for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That would be one.
I'm putting it on the list.
We blew the doors off of them, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Two longest runs in team history, in opponent history at the stadium were in the last 3 minutes. So
yeah, I'd be interested because there's a lot of context about Dallas at the time too that I probably would have forgotten and wouldn't remember. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Well, let's move on to talk about the Titans and Ravens, and obviously that was the game of the 2000 playoffs. Anywhere, anytime, that was the game that determined the Super Bowl, actually. Yeah. And Sharp had pretty much the entire offense for the Ravens in a single play that day.
Correct. Yep. And it just like blown coverage. I don't know. Like it, who do they have to cover? Like what are you guys paying attention to if it's not Shannon Sharp? And like just blown coverage and so much just like goosebumps and like fear and like, I remember that game, and I remember the anxiousness in the room was more palatable than the Colts in 07. Is that when it was? Yeah, the anxiousness in that room amongst the Ravens fans was the most anxious I've ever felt Ravens fans around me in my entire life. And it was, you know, the missed kicks, the return kicks, the blocked kicks. I mean, it was so much, but yeah, one play. And I mean, what Shannon Sharp did that play wasn't even like wildly impressive. It was just a complete blown coverage, and somehow he ends up going 60 something yards. I think he got tackled at the one, right?
I think you might be right. It might have been the three, but either way, he put them in position where they almost couldn't mess it up. And then they had one really well blocked play for Jamal Lewis to get into the end zone. Yep. And that was nice, but that was pretty much the whole offense the entire day. Other than that, you know, I think they only had five first downs in the game. And their big play in the second half was a good punt return that set them up at about their own 47 or something, or maybe even the Titans 45. Then they got a 14-yard run out of Jamal, which was like their last first down of the game, I believe. And then they kicked the field goal that got the game tied at 10. And of course, then you move forward, and then from tied at 10, it's block kick return 90 yards by Mitchell, and the interception to seal it returned by Ray Lewis on the play. They, for whatever reason, they show that Ray Lewis highlight a lot more. It was a critical play in Ravens history, but it's it's so far down in terms of the relative importance to the block, kick, and return, which was to that point on the 1 to 10 scale, it was the only 11 in Ravens history at that point. There's no other. Really, the Lewis play is a 10, but there really aren't any other tens either.
Correct.
It still bothers me that play isn't held in that high regard.
McCrary, right? He's the one that blocked the kick.
Keith Washington.
Keith Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
And he blocked them both. Actually, he blocked both field goals.
I couldn't say I watched the first block or miss like five times, and I just couldn't tell if he got his fingers on it. Okay, he did. Yeah, Washington.
I've got this really cool network feed of that game in my collection, and it has instead of going to commercial, they just stick with the announcers. And so one of the funny things is happening. They're teasing the sideline announcer. I don't remember if it was Susie Colbert or some other fairly young woman. And they're teasing her about some party she went to, as if it's an inside joke or whatever. and then there's another at the point of the block field goal, it all happens so quickly. Mitchell's running it back. And they said, there's Anthony Mitchell, playing his 29th game of the season. And he played for the Rhine Fire and this and that. And he goes in the end zone. But basically, that's Enberg reading off his little square, everything he knows about Anthony Mitchell there in one sentence.
Yep.
There's number, let's see, 42. Yes, that's Anthony, right? Yes. Okay. So, yeah. So anyway, the other thing is, you really got a sense into just how technical Dan Dierdorf was. And I had brought this up on the show before, but I'll risk saying it again, is that he immediately is like he's directing the truck in terms of the review. He goes, okay, give me the all 22, go to field level. Okay, go back, run it back again, run it back forward. They go, okay, that's Keith Washington. And immediately they come back from commercial. And he goes, and Keith Washington here on this play, you'll see, loses his helmet, but doesn't lose his head, as he's the one who blocks this kick that gets rid of. And it's just so smooth. And if you ever didn't like Dierdorf, the announcer, which I always loved his energy. I really loved who he was as an announcer. I know there's been some times when Baltimore fans have been a little bit upset with him, but you just couldn't help but respect the guy for who he was in terms of his analysis of football and his technical ability with the assets that they had available to them.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, it's like watching a conductor for the symphony at the Kennedy Center. Like, how do you hear all of these pieces and know exactly how to keep it all balanced? And that's wildly impressive for sure. Yep.
We go on to the AFC Championship game. I'm sure there's a play you want to talk about there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. Like, that's another one that gets it's just wild to me how Shannon Sharp in that 2000 season is like, he's just the guy. And it just, like, it doesn't matter what other pieces are falling apart around him or how unlucky or how ill queued up everything is for him, he just happens to be that dude. It's like Marlon Brown, this Viking mm-hmm. snowpocalypse game. It's like, but for Shannon Sharp, it's the whole 2000 season. Way backed up, and I think it's third down. They're trying to get
third
some
and 18 from the four. Yeah,
third and 18, four from the four. And they Shannon Sharp has an interview for the Ravens 20th season where they talk about top 20 plays from their previous 20 years. And that play is one of them. He says that the entire goal of that play was to get more room to punt. So, and it looks like he's running, a slant, mm-hmm. over the middle. And he's covered. Like, this window doesn't really exist, and it's probably not a good ball for Trent Dilfer to throw. I'm not discrediting him because I've never been in the NFL quarterback, and me reading the field is not going to be as good as Trent Dilfer for sure. But like, from my amateur analyst eye, I guess I'm like, that's a bad throw for sure. Shouldn't throw that ball. But somehow, like, Shannon Sharp has half of a quarter of a step on double coverage and catches it. And it's a little like, it's on him. It's not in front of him. It's not behind it, but it's like, it's right in the pocket. It's right at his armpit trying to catch this thing, and then sprints all the way down the field. And I think he got a block from Stokely, right?
It might have been. I was thinking that Patrick Johnson was running.
Patrick Johnson was the Broncos one.
Okay,
I know that.
I take your word for it. So it might be Stokely.
I think it was Stokely on that one.
I'll take your word for it. I've got to watch these plays again. Now I've got a real hankering to do it. But the thing I remember is Marquez Pope, who was the safety for the Raiders, kind of pulled his hand back. Raiders fans will never forgive him for that. In fact, they're probably more mad at Marquez Pope than they are at Tony Siragusa for what he did in that game, which is pretty, it's a lot. And then he pulls his hand back. And I think, you know, we always talk about running backs and how, you know, they either can or they can't run away from defenses. And it's usually a matter of being, you know, just a tiny bit faster. It's one of the few places your long speed really comes in. But the fact that Shannon Sharp was able to go the distance there really says a lot about Shannon Sharp, the athlete, because he was fast enough to get it done in a place like that.
And you said this was year 8?
He was 32 years old at the time.
Yeah. And like, for as great as medical treatment and injuries and surgeries were in 2000 and, you know, the 2000, 2001, like, it still was like, to be able to make it 8 years and still be that athletic and be 32 and be able to do that. Like, that's, I don't know. The last tight end at 32 that would have been able to do that, maybe Tony Gonzalez, but probably not at 32. I can't.
Defenders have gotten a lot faster, including the linebackers who would have been chasing him down. So, I really don't know. I mean, but you know, oftentimes it's said of a running back who has like 4.47 speed doesn't run away from, you know, defenses. Kind of like, oh, really?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's just incredible that, you know, again, it's another play of Shannon Sharp in that postseason that's akin to the Steelers with the miracle. I can't remember the guy's
the immaculate reception.
The immaculate reception, where it's just like, how does that happen? You know, and then I'm like psychologically thinking about Ray Lewis and you know how deep he is with his religion and his higher power, and I'm like, dude, if I saw Shannon Sharp do that in 2000, I'd be a believer too. Like, if I'm next to this and all this stuff happens, yeah, man, holy cow, wow, you know.
Great game, obviously, and he only had one catch for 5 yards in the Super Bowl, so I don't expect you to have a highlight from that. The 2001 highlight, the only one I've got, is the game-winning touchdown against Jacksonville with 9 seconds left. It was a tough season all the way around, obviously, for the Ravens, and there wasn't a lot for him to be heroic about, certainly not nearly as much, but a well-earned, I think, and in a lot of ways he's kind of set a standard for a guy who played 2 years of extremely high value play for the Ravens. And I think the biggest thing being the 5-1 record they had in the playoffs with him, helped him get in the Ring of Honor for the Ravens.
Yeah. That Jacksonville catch was like just another, like, we've been talking about his size and his speed and like how uncomparable he is, but that catch was like Jerry Rice body control for a tight end. You know, obviously it's not the same, but like as far as tight ends go, like you just don't see a dude be able to, like, you know, extend out past the back of the end zone, catch the ball, and keep his feet down as a tight end. You just didn't really see that.
I'm sorry here. I need to correct myself. Shannon Sharp is one of the initial five Ravens to go into the Hall of Fame. He is actually not in the Ravens Ring of Honor.
Really?
Yeah, it's they've got a lot of guys who have a, you know, 4 year run or something that includes a great postseason, like Anquan Boldin and Matt Burke would be in that category of having, you know, a great 4 year run. I think what will have to happen maybe for some of them to make it is the Ravens will have to have a down period where they don't win for a couple of decades. Hopefully that doesn't happen, because this town, I don't know if we could take it after all the success we've had. So yeah. I know it would be difficult to take, but anyway, if something like that happened, we've seen how the Oriole Hall of Fame can get crowded with some pretty mediocre players under such circumstances, and the Ravens still have a good supply line, or what do you call it, pipeline of players who did a lot for them.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I think as long as Steve Bisciotti is around, like as long as he's here and coherent, like I think we're in pretty good hands, right? I think I remember reading or hearing somewhere that he doesn't want to pass it on to his kids. So at some point in time, the team will sell. And like, I don't know. We've watched Carolina go to new ownership, and that was, oh, God, I've got a couple of Panthers friends that are just like, I'm like, that's brutal, man. I feel so awful for you guys. This is really brutal. But, yeah, as long as Bisciotti's around, I feel like we're okay. We don't have to worry about the downturn.
All right. Well, Sean, I tell you what, absolutely a delight to talk through some of these great moments with Shannon, about Shannon Sharpe. But tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I am on Twitter, like rarely though, because it's just a toxic place, man. And like, I try not to be on Twitter a ton because the toxicity, but I'm there at @BMORE_sky SKY underscore high HIGH. And I've had that for a while, but yeah, I'm there. There's my picture, some like alternate created Ravens uniform that I saw that's like Maryland flag inspired. I was like, that's dope. So yeah, if you see some random cool jersey that's like not real, then that's me.
All right. Well, very cool. Sean, I really appreciate you coming on. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up with a DM. They're always open on Twitter. In particular, if you have a player you want to talk about, doesn't have to be the 38 minutes of memories we've gone over here about Shannon Sharpe. It could be 15 of some player maybe who was lesser known, but you have fond memories of a personal interaction, whatever it might be. Just DM me his name. And I will save that player for you, and we'll schedule as soon as we can for doing that, probably in June at this point. But Sean, really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, Ken, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it as always.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.